Hello there, listener, and welcome to our podcast. It's called Cosplay and Cocktails.
This is Paige.
And I am Jessie, as always.
As always. Friends.
Countrymen. Lend me your ears.
Welcome to a road trip episode.
Yep. We're on the road again.
On the road again.
Yeah, you're the one always telling me I can't sing or we're going to get sued.
You've now told me I can.
That's based on something I heard on probably someone's YouTube.
You said it so confidently.
I mean, as I do most things that I have an approximate knowledge of.
We are on our way home from
Fan Expo Dallas.
I hope you're prepared, because for the rest of the episode, we're going to talk. Like, I say part of a sentence, and then
I finish the sentence.
Not really. We're not going to do that to you.
No, that wasn't intentional.
No, it just keeps happening.
Yeah, you know, when you've been together as long as we have, things like that happen. We finish each other's sandwiches.
Anyway, we're on our way home from Dallas, and we had such a good time. We can't wait to tell you about it. But we've got other things to do first. Jessie, Cocktail Corner. What was your favorite? Obviously, we're in the car. We cannot have alcohol right now. Right. So there's no cocktail in this episode, but what was your favorite cocktail from the weekend?
Ooh. You know, I think it was probably that honey tea cocktail I had at the Bar and Grill. I can't remember, Plan 9 from Outer Space or something it was called.
Pick 6.
I don't know what that means. But it was just some kind of sweet tea flavored liquor and honey and iced tea. Like unsweet iced tea. And it just tasted like honey tea. Like, it was really good. Mm-hmm. That was probably my favorite drink overall, was probably just the non-alcoholic unsweetened iced tea I had this morning with honey and lavender. That was very, very good. But favorite cocktail, I think, was that one. Or the watermelon margarita.
Yeah.
Those were both high, high, high.
Yeah. For me, the watermelon margarita came to mind first. But if I had my actual favorite cocktail I had was we had sushi for dinner one night. And I had a drink called the Cantonese. And it was rum.
That was really delicious.
It was rum and pineapple and ginger. And I can't remember what else.
It was very tropical tasting. It was just a little hint of ginger. So it wasn't too spicy.
Yeah.
It was good.
It was really good. Yeah. That was my favorite probably. But the watermelon margarita was fantastic too.
Yeah. So. I think the taste-wise, probably the tea one. The watermelon margarita was just we were hot after the con. Mm-hmm. We were sitting there with our friends. We all had a nice little watermelon margarita and a nice little toast. So I think that was more the vibe.
Right.
It was very good. Normally, it was real watermelon in there.
Right. Yeah, so that's our cocktail corner. Thanks for being so cool with your drinks, Dallas. That was fun.
Yeah, and really our food and our drink. We every place we ate was owned by the same company.
Yeah. Really stay kind of close little, to the con and the con hotel.
Yeah, there's this little food
area.
Village. Yeah. Owned by one of the hotels. But really, especially for
fantastic.
A situation like that, where it's just something close to the con that's quick to eat, I was really impressed.
We even, one day we went to go get Mexican, which we ended up having for dinner that night, but they were really busy. So we went across the street to just a bar and grill in the hotel, and it was freaking delicious.
It was such a good hamburger. I had a cheeseburger, just a cheeseburger, and it was just such a good cheeseburger. And
it was good con food.
It was overall, I would say that's maybe the most solid food I've ever had at a con.
And it was really nice. Dragon Con, we always have
decent, and still convenient.
Right. We always have good food, but it was super close. Yeah. And literally across the street from the convention center, super
everything.
Close. Hey, Jessie, you feeling curious about anything?
I am feeling curious about something, in fact.
Something's on my mind, that means question time. I'm gonna ask you a question.
What is a costume that was maybe more popular in the past that you would like to see make a comeback? That you don't see very much anymore. A costume that either you thought was really, really cool that people used to do, or that you saw once and you've never seen again, or doesn't necessarily have to be one that you want to do, just one that you would like to see again that you haven't seen in a while.
I will tell you, one of the cosplays that I have only seen in person maybe once, and that I really, really enjoy seeing, it makes me really excited every time, that's how I'm going to spin this, is the diva from Fifth Element.
Ooh. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe once. I think I've seen it once, and I go, oh my gosh, every time. Like, I just remember being so excited, and I've seen pictures of it. I've seen pictures of people doing it, and I get excited, but, like, you see a lot of Lilus.
See some ruby rods.
Yeah. What about you?
The one that I got the most excited about, and I've only ever seen it once, and it's very, very, very obscure, and that's why I got so excited, is Runner 5 from my Zombies Run, like, exercise app. I think it was my first Dragon Con. It was an early Dragon Con because it was before you went. And I lost my ever-loving mind because it is such an obscure thing. So I really like the very obscure, like, niche costume. So, like, to see another Runner 5, maybe I'll do Runner 5. Yeah. Probably Runner 5 would be, or something like that. There might be other things like that that are obscure that I'm forgetting about. But, like, something that is so, so niche. Because then it's, like, such a cool, exciting experience because not many people do recognize it, but then when you do, it's like, oh my god, like, so probably Runner 5.
Awesome. So Jesse, should we get into talking about our con experience in Dallas?
Yes, this was our first time going to Dallas.
It is. Yeah, we normally go down to see our Texas friends in Houston, but we couldn't this time, as we've talked about on the podcast before. And so they were like, hey, how about you come to Dallas? There's con.
Yeah.
And we said, say no more. And so it was a much shorter drive for us.
It was about a third shorter, about 33% shorter.
Yeah.
Drive. Our first fan expo, that's always been a fan expo. Mm-hmm. So I would say this was a lot bigger con than Fan Expo St. Louis.
Yep.
I think probably because it was an established Fan Expo, and Wizard World, I think, was a little bit smaller.
Yep. And something to keep in mind, because I'm sure it will come up, is that our inside sources told us that this is the first year that Fan Expo...
They're not inside sources, they're outside sources.
Okay, our sources.
Yeah,
our correspondents in Texas.
Yeah, our Texas correspondents. Cosplay and Cocktails, Texas division.
Official.
Yeah.
Texas division. They informed us that this is the first year that Fan Expo Dallas has been at that location.
At the convention center, it has been moved.
So, I think that will probably come up.
Yes, I think so too.
You want to talk about the con itself?
Yeah, before I forget though, I was going to say thank you to
Dana.
Fan Expo, and to Dana and Fan Expo Dallas for getting us press passes.
Mm-hmm.
This was really nice. Also, something that I just... first thing that I was really nice about the con is there was a press entrance.
Yes.
So that we could get in.
Felt pretty fancy.
It's just nice because then it makes it easier for us to do more, to see more of the con and to cover it more.
Yep.
So it's a nice little extra thing. And again, especially going to something as far away as that. And she personally greeted us and gave us our badges and thanked us for coming.
Yep.
So I was really impressed by that.
Yes,
like, first off, like, how
I was too.
How welcoming the con was to
and
press.
She asked how long our drive was.
Right.
And
she's like, wow, thanks for coming all the way down here from Illinois. Like, you know, so that was really, like, you know.
And thanks to our St. Louis Wizard World contact, Jerry, for putting us in contact with Dana, who is in charge of...
Right, because he could have just ignored our email and been like, oh, or just said, like, that, I have nothing to do with that.
Right.
But
he put us in contact Dana, who then hooked
I've
us
been,
up. So
we've worked with them for pretty much as long as we've done the podcast, and I've been really impressed by their... Again, everyone, we're always super, super appreciative and thankful when a convention gives us press passes, because... again, we could not, it'd be a lot more difficult to do the podcast without them.
Especially when we're making new cosplays
trying
to make at least one new cosplay for every convention. Like,
mm-hmm.
it would definitely cut into our cosplay budget, and we'd have to make some decisions.
Right.
And or more decisions.
Yeah, right. Or like, again, when it's a 9.5 hour drive, you know, that's gas for us. Like, that's more than gas.
Yep.
So always want to thank the conventions for, we do want to try to give you, our listeners, an unbiased review of the con and an unbiased coverage
of
the
con. Tell you what we liked, tell you what we didn't like.
Yeah, we are thankful for that. And we do want to disclose when we've got free passes. So
let's get into it.
Okay.
So, like we said, new location. Mm-hmm. We've never been.
We never went to the old location, so we have no basis of comparison there.
It was, our hotel was one of the host hotels that was listed on the con website. Mm-hmm. Great hotel.
Yep.
We were really happy with
it. Yeah.
Short walk. Mm-hmm. There was another host hotel option.
Pretty affordable too.
Yeah.
The con rate. And we didn't book even super early.
Nope.
Very comfortable hotel. Very comfortable.
Yep, we got to get adjoining rooms with our friends, which
that
was great.
Yeah, they were also very accommodating of that as well, because we didn't say that when we booked or anything.
We called on the way down, and once they had their room, and we said, hey, can we get the room next to them? Here's the number. And they said, yeah, sure thing. Yeah. And it was no problem.
Our friends had called or texted us while we were on the road, texted Paige and said, here's the number of the adjoining room if you want to try to get it. So we, and that was super fun. We had never done that before.
Yeah.
Like, had an adjoining room.
Yeah, it was a fun time.
With anybody, so.
Yeah, so the hotel was super accommodating. We were really happy with it. Nice. They gave us bottled waters.
Ooh, that was also very nice.
When we left and came back.
Dallas was hot.
It was hot.
It was hot.
But short walk. Like we said, very happy with the hotel selection we made.
And the hotel that was adjoining the con that we went in through, we went to their coffee shop, we went to some of the restaurants. Mm-hmm. Also very, very nice. Mm-hmm. From, again, we didn't see the rooms, but so good hotel situation. There were several hotels down there that would be good options.
Yep. The one thing I will say is upon arrival, it was a bit of a cluster.
It was just very, very
busy. It was very busy. It was one of the crazier entrances into a con that we've made. We made the mistake of going with our friends who did not have press
not
passes.
Not using the priority
press entrance. Yeah, we saw it and we were like, oh no, we'll go with you guys into the regular entrance.
Like, we're not in a hurry.
Very quickly regretted it because it was insane. We commented that it was probably due to it could have very much been due to the fact that it is a new building and they were figuring out how to do it. But that layout was weird. Right.
I think part one, Fan Expo uses a scan in, scan out system for their convention. So that's something to be aware of. I think Fan Expo is the only one that we've been to that uses that. So they actually scan your badge with like an iPad, a tablet.
Mm-hmm. When you go in,
and when you go out, so that you can't.
So
I think we mentioned it in
our
Fan Expo St. Louis episode. So, and then, you know, one of the volunteers, her iPad went down. So she was like, I can't, like, sorry. So
here's another thing. All of the volunteers that we met, even though it was crazy, they were all super kind.
Yep.
Patient,
kept
kind.
Their cool head in a very, what was a very stressful environment.
Yep.
And even the other con goers, like, I know, like, some people were just kind of, I don't think it was intentionally rude. They just get excited about, oh, look at that thing. And then they kind of, you know, push past you or brush past you or something. But, it was very overwhelming. They didn't have very much programming in the main, like, kind of vendor hall. They had a very, very large room. Similar, I would say it kind of reminded me of C2E2, where all the celebrity signings were in, like, one lower area of this large room, and then the other side was like the artist alley, the vendors, and then also the big main theater stage, which we actually didn't go to anything
We didn't go to any of those. The rest of the panel rooms were further away. I thought they were well marked. We did go to one panel. That's all.
One actual panel.
One actual, we did other things,
As always.
But one actual panel, and it was actually a cosplayer that we have met before, and we've been in one of her panels before, Jalea. We've mentioned her on there, on our podcast before. She was actually at Fan Expo St. Louis, and she had a cosplay mishaps panel.
Yeah, like cosplay fails.
Yeah. And we really enjoyed it. Yeah, she is funny. She's relatable. She's kind. She gave good tips. And yeah, I always enjoy her panels. Yeah.
I was a little bit at like, not apprehensive because we have seen her before and we did like her, but like, it was just like, I was like, is like, we never know when it's a cosplay panel, like kind of what level it's going to be geared toward or like what kind of the vibe, like, cause we mentioned this with our Indiana Comic Con episode, but like when we went to some of those cosplay panels, they weren't even close to what the schedule said or, you know, what the description of the panel was. So you just never really know. Sometimes it can get kind of shanghaied by the audience. And I think that she did a really good job of staying on topic. Like, it was clear that she had really prepped for the panel and that she wasn't just, you know, like winging it, but she also took questions and she did a really good job of answering the questions truthfully. And there was a question someone asked about, like, is there a better way to make a pattern than putting Saran wrap around and dry? And she was like, no. Which, you know, like, it's honest and funny, but, like, you know, she was saying, like, it's really the best way.
And at one point, somebody asked her a question, and she's like, I can't answer that. Does somebody else in the room know how to answer that?
Like,
she's just very relatable and doesn't, like...
It's the second time I've been very impressed by her. Yes. You know, again, there's not a cosplayer that we've had any, like... You
relationship
know,
with
any
her.
Yeah, any kind of interaction with that you know wasn't great.
Yeah.
But she does just a really great panel. I'm glad that Fan Expo had, you know, that
utilizes
they,
her.
Yeah, I guess for lack of a better word. Yeah, I'm glad that to see her still and she had amazing costume on. Yeah, I really liked her corpse bride.
Yeah.
But just she does a lot of like kind of mashups or her own takes on characters. That was like her Corpse Bride. It took us a minute to be sure that it was Corpse Bride. It was beautiful.
She always does crazy pieces with her hair, her wig. Like,
she usually doesn't do like completely screen accurate. Right. She will make it her own.
Yeah.
It was talented. It was a great panel.
Yeah. So we also went to the cosplay contest, which was called.
This is something, and I think this is new to Fan Expo.
I don't know.
I don't think St. Louis last year was this way.
I don't remember.
So maybe it's something that existed. Like I said, St. Louis Fan Expo might have been a little bit different because it was previously at Wizard World. It's newly integrated into the Fan Expo family. But they have... Fan Expo has a qualifying competitions at each of their regional cons, and then at their big like parent con, their first Fan Expo in Toronto, all of the regional qualifiers go and compete, and it's called the Masters of Cosplay Grand Prix.
Yeah.
So
this was a qualifying contest.
This was the Lone Star qualifier, so the Texas qualifier, and the winner of the Texas qualifier then goes on to Toronto to compete. So
which is very similar to like how
Repop's cons do that with the Crown Championships of Cosplay, where they have their all the
winners
regional
from
grand champions come to compete at C2E2.
But I think
correct
it moves.
Me if I'm wrong.
I think it moves.
I was gonna say there. I think it moves, and it might move with Fan Expo as Like I said, this was our first time at a
Crown Championship moves every year. So, cosplay contest wasn't huge. Wasn't a huge cosplay contest, but
It's I don't know if they have like any kind of cutoff or like you know maximum number.
We actually went to the main stage on the like vendor floor. Because we assumed it was there, and we had to backtrack.
Right, they have two things they called the main, like one was a main theater and the other was
main
just
stage.
Theater.
Oh, no, okay.
The other was just theater. So, but it did have, like when I actually looked in the app, it said like room numbers and floor numbers.
Right.
So we did find it.
But it was one of the smaller cosplay competitions.
Smaller as far as like number of competitors,
And audience members.
Yeah, Which I kind of think that probably this was a very, like, there were a lot of big, big celebrity names there.
Yeah.
And I think that might be part of the...
Big celebrity people at, like, the same time.
Right. And so I don't, like... The costume contest was during the Miles Morales voice actor panel, and it was right before
people were lining up for Hayden Christensen already.
So people, because it was, you know, like first come, first serve, you may not get in. People were already lining up for Hayden Christensen, so that does
take away from
you know what you might. So we did the costume contest first because we knew that'd be a priority for us, and then we went to check on. Yeah, and it was basically like we probably weren't going to get in because we hadn't been waiting in line since 5. So
Jesse, what were your overall thoughts on this cosplay contest?
A lot of really, really great costume, like really, really insane level costumes. They did announce it is a craftsmanship contest, so based on, you know, not just how the costume looks from the outside, but, you know, how your overall craftsmanship is. They did a good job of explaining the
different categories. Different,
like, yeah, so they had a novice, a journeyman, and then a master level of competition, the prize for each. And the only thing, like, again, they were clearly defined, pretty clearly. One of the things was, like, one major award or two minor awards. So we didn't really know what counts as a major award, what counts as a minor award. And, but, you know, there's only so much you can do. Like, it's got to be a judgment call somewhere by somebody. And I felt like some of the master costumes or some of the novice costumes looked like, you know, well above what I would consider a novice.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm sure they still met the criteria. Like, the criteria was that you never, you know, you'd never won an award.
Right.
Or that you had won, like, only one minor award or something like that. And that you didn't have any formal training, things like that. So... You know, we know a lot of amazing, amazing, amazing cosplayers who do amazing, amazing, amazing work that have no formal training.
Right.
So, that's not to say, like, I'm not saying it was just, you know, it was just really some of them. I was like, that's a novice level. Like, whoa.
Yikes. Yeah.
Whoa.
They said just because they've never won an award or didn't have formal training doesn't mean they haven't been, like, honing their craft for
like
years.
If they were all in the same category, I would not have been surprised.
No, right, right.
Like, any of them could have been in the master category, and I would not have been, like,
The ones I'm thinking of, I would imagine they've been cosplaying for years, and this is just the first time they've entered
know? Yeah, because there's just no way that you could... you were talking, like, resin casting and LEDs and, like... more advanced stuff that is very hard to get right and takes a lot of money and time to get right. So,
But like you said, a lot of really cool cosplays in every category.
Something else I thought was really cool about this costume contest was they had a sustainability award.
That was my favorite part, I think.
That was the coolest thing, I think, about this.
Glad you remembered that, because I'd forgotten.
So they gave a special award. It was a $100 award and then a special trophy made by their costuming department, the Fan Expo costuming department, for whichever costume was the most sustainable. So use the most, you know, sustainable methods and materials, which was really, really cool because, you know, we love to find something in a dumpster to use for a costume. That is something I would love to see. That is my favorite thing, I think, about cosplay is seeing creativity. Like, you know, there's nothing wrong, and I've done this, you've done this, everybody I know that cosplays has done this. There's nothing wrong with, you know, getting online and following, you know, buying the materials and, you know, following an exact tutorial for every piece. Like, everybody does it. Or, you know, buying something and modifying. Like, that, but it's very cool. The coolest thing, I think, is when someone takes, like, oh, I made this out of a, you know, like, I made this out of bottle caps, or I made this out of, you know, dryer lint or spark, like, Jalea and her panel talked about going to a local body shop and getting, like, old broken spark plugs just that were garbage for a costume.
And bottle caps
and,
from
right,
a pub.
From
and...
a, yeah, so, like, things like that where you're repurposing, you know, repurposing waste or doing something, in a, like, that is what I think is super, super cool about cosplay. We've talked about that before. So I'd like to see, I guess, more...
We were excited about that because right. we're like, oh, that's not an award we've seen given out before. Right. And I think that speaks
and
a lot,
too. And it's a different skill set. We've talked mm-hmm. about, like, there are so many different skill sets that can be showcased in a cosplay. Like, armor work, foam work, seam, you know, like, sewing. So I was going to say seamstressing. Seamstressing. Sauce.
Yep.
Sewing, bead work, crochet. One of the costumes that won the journeyman division was pretty much all crocheted, which I've talked about doing that before as a fiber artist myself. Really, I don't know, like, someone who crochets, fiber artist,
that was fancy.
Well, they call it fiber art.
I know.
But that, you know, like, that was pretty cool
to see.
Like, so, there are so many different, I guess, skill sets to cosplay, and that's just one that I think is a skill set that I've not seen
celebrated as much.
Yeah, not seen like awarded with an actual category in a costume contest before. So
another thing I will say is that they did a very good job. You know, there was three judges, and then there was the host, and each of them got to give like a award, you know, like their pick, and each of them did a really good job of explaining why they chose them. And I always appreciate that because they would talk about like, oh my gosh, the, you know, the way that this and, you know, and this, you know, because they prejudge. Right. So they saw, I mean, as generally you do in a cosplay contest with judges, they see things we don't.
Right.
So I like it when they give us a little behind the scenes as to why they chose
and
who they did.
And they get to talk to the cosplayer and ask them questions about their costume and how did you do this? Because we might see something cool and be like, how the heck did they do that?
Right.
And you just never find out.
Right.
So it was cool that they said, you know, I gave this person my judge's award because I thought that this technique was really, really cool. Or I thought that this idea that they had or this, you know, material that they made, this fabric that they dyed, whatever. So that was really nice.
Yeah.
To hear.
Yep, for sure. So, one thing that I think is a little...
Is that where you're going?
Well, a little... Oh, no, go ahead. I mean, we can't...
I was going to say that.
I wasn't going to say it, but...
I mean, it's just something... It's not... It's something that maybe could be improved upon. It wasn't a deal breaker, but the judges, when they left to make their decision, there was no... Like, the host kind of had to just fill, like, up by the seat of their pants. They didn't have anything planned to, so it was a little bit awkward. I think that that's something, again, a lot of costume contests don't, I think because they don't know how long the judges will need to deliberate, you know, what they're discussing. I don't know how much, like, I guess the prejudging, I don't know how much the judges have to, like, confer with one another after they do the prejudging. They may not have any time at all to really talk about it. And that may be their only time. So I'm not saying don't give them that time. By all means, do. But I think they should either say, okay, 30-minute break, go do something else, and, you know.
Or have something planned.
Which, I mean, that would be maybe not, the, you know, you don't want, like, people to go and leave and then a whole bunch of people come in and you can't get back in, I guess.
Right.
But, or, like, again, have some kind of, it doesn't have to be anything fancy, just some kind of, you know, have a band play. Have, like, a nerdy band play or have...
DJ play.
Yeah, have a DJ or have, you know, like some PowerPoint slides to play on the screens of, you know, like, I don't think there were screens for this one, though.
No, there weren't.
So, you know, like some kind of.
I mean, there were screens, they just didn't utilize them.
Did they? Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Like, again, this, it's a very, very minor gripe, but if I had to, again, in the interest of full. Again, it wasn't anything against the hosts. It wasn't anything against the judges. It was just, something that would make, like, you know, it was an A costume contest. It would have gotten an A+ and also I felt kind of, like, bad for the hosts. Like, I felt like they were a little stressed out because they were literally just coming up with, like, random trivia questions off the top of their heads. Otherwise, it was really, really great.
So, one thing that we... I think we're a little torn on was the vendor halls. Good vendor halls. Lots of vendors. I mean, like, there was a lot of artists we haven't seen before.
Yeah.
There was a
good variety of vendors.
There was a good amount of nerdy Walmart, but there was also plenty of other artists.
And again, I don't mind a little bit. Some of that stuff was stuff like you'd only be able to buy online and might be like, it didn't seem like the prices were outrageous.
Right.
For a lot of that stuff. And again, we mentioned this before, but especially like kids, teenagers, middle schoolers may not have the ability to shop online. Like if you got your pocket money that your mom gave you for the con or whatever, you've been saving up your allowance. You may not even know what's out there. If you're like, I don't think most middle schoolers are probably online shopping.
Probably not.
I don't mind a little bit of nerdy Walmart. Right. It's good to have a variety though.
One thing, we went Saturday morning to the vendor halls immediately and we were so very overwhelmed.
Yeah.
The attendance was so high, and I'm not sure if it was just... I think part of it is having that main stage back in the corner.
And all the celebrities were in there as well.
And all the celebrities. They needed to have different entrances for those different things.
Yeah, it seemed like there could have been better marked entrances and exits. That would, again, small room improvement.
Yeah.
But again,
we think it's probably because they've never done it in that space before, and figuring out the logistics, that might not be something they thought about. Oh, the vendor halls are going to become very congested, and maybe they would have been congested anyway because of the large amount of people there. It was crazy. Like, it was busier than Dragon Con vendor halls.
Saturday at like 10 or 11, it was like you could hardly
We all got a little panicky.
You could hardly move. Yeah. It was the most crowded that I've seen a convention ever.
Yeah. It was busy. But we went back today on Sunday and was much more navigable. Yeah, we could navigate it a lot easier. All of the vendors we talked to were great. Like we said, large variety of things, some really cool stuff. Like I said, a lot of vendors.
It also occurs to me that part of the reason Saturday might be so crazy is there are some cons when they have one big day, like that's the busiest. Like, you know, for us, since we went all weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it's crazy busy, we'll come back later. Like, when we went in there on Saturday to kind of look with our friends, and there were prints that one of our friends wanted to buy that were like limited quantities and were going to sell out, so she wanted to get those like as early as possible. But after that, you know, like, but for us, we were like, there's nothing that we absolutely have to get. We'll just look later.
Right.
So I think that might be part of it too.
Sure.
That, you know, and like, again, that's something that it's a lot of volunteers. There isn't, you know, people directing traffic and, you know, where the flow of traffic goes.
Yeah.
Is not something you can really control. A lot of people that might have been like maybe their first con, or like they haven't been to con in a while, or something. You know, it's just like so hard to tell the demographic of con goers. So,
like I said,
I don't know that it's anything that the con could control,
right?
Other than having maybe some more exits.
Yeah, I think
out of just that main room, not necessarily out of the convention, because that seemed to be fine. Just out of that main room, because we that first day milled around for probably 5-10 minutes
trying to find the exit,
and like the exit that we found was like out to like the dumpsters, like a maintenance exit that like was not
we were just trying to get to a panel room,
right?
I think that would be my suggestion, or something I think they could improve upon. And like I said, maybe it was just poorly planned, having entrances closer, and exits closer to the main stage where a bunch of people are going to go to see the big celebrities,
and
closer to the photo ops, and maybe having it all like more entrances and exits. Yeah, exactly.
And
like Jesse said.
I don't know if this, like, I guess maybe we should ask our friend, our Texas division, and see if they know, but I don't know if there's a specific, like, if the convention, like, the the impression that I got from talking to her was that this is like the new space for the convention, and that it'll be at the same convention center next year.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if, like, getting that main stage, if there was a way to get it out of
that would help a lot,
that same room, so they could spread the vendors out a little bit more. Mm-hmm. That would be nice. Or, you know, spread some of the celebrities out a little bit more. And, like, because food, celebrities, and the vendors were all in this one giant room. And that main panel stage. So that's a lot to have in, like, one concentrated area. Like you said, and it may have just been busy because that's busy. Like you said, it might just be that a lot of people bought one-day tickets.
Yeah.
Saturday was a lot longer hours. So if you were only able to come one day, Saturday would be the day you want to come.
Right.
Hayden Christensen was Saturday. So, you know, like his big, like, two-hour nighttime extravaganza. So, you know, heck, there may have been people there trying to line up for it at 11 o'clock already. So,
I think that's our main gripe, really.
That again, and it's not even really a gripe.
No.
Like, when you go to a big, huge convention like that, you expect that it's going to be busy.
Yep.
It was just, you could hardly move. We could not stay with our friends.
Yep.
It was hard to figure out where we were going, and it did get very
anxiety.
It made us all anxious.
Yeah. But like we said, I am at least chalking that up to new convention space and working out kinks.
I think it's too early. Yeah, like I said, I don't think,
because we had such good experiences with everything else.
And again, I don't know how much of that the convention can control.
Right.
If it's just busy because it's busy, there's a lot of people there. And like I said, there may not be space. Like, again, maybe they put everything in that one big room because, so they can have the main theater stage where the big, you know, like Hayden Christensen and all the celebrities were, seat as many people as possible. So as many people would see that stuff as possible, which, you know, like, got to make a concession somewhere.
Yep.
You know, I don't want to say, oh, they should just move that theater and then they have to put it in a way tinier room. And then, you know, half the amount of people can see the celebrities they want to see. Because even though that's not what we're into, like you said, I'm not the only convention goer in the world. Everyone that buys a ticket should hopefully be able to do as much as they want
to
possible.
A good con.
Right, yeah.
So, Jesse, do you want to get into our cosplays?
Let's get into it.
You reckon?
I reckon.
Since we knew we were meeting up with our Texas friends there, we collaborated with them. We collaborated with Sheila, our friend, Red Shoes Red Wine. She has a blog. If you've not checked it out, you should. But she likes doing historical mashups like we do. And
I wonder where that was going. It actually started. We've been talking about doing Regency for a while.
Yes.
Or like Bridgerton style. And I said I would do it if it was a mashup, because I'm just not that big of a fan of, like, I haven't seen Bridgerton. I haven't seen,
that's
like,
not when you're, like, drawn to.
No, yeah, it's just not, you know, I'm not trying to be a poser out here.
Fair.
So, we've been batting it around, and Paige found a plus size, a Jessie sized Regency dress online for like $9.
Like with shipping.
It was less than $10 without
crazy
deal. Shipping. I think it was $9.81.
Yep.
So I was like, that's too good of a deal to pass up. I'm going to order it. And
so when we started talking about what cosplays we were going to bring, we told her, well, we are trying to think of
something that I can use this,
yeah, something. We were like, do you have any ideas? Like, we were kind of thinking, like, we were trying to just think of characters for her to use
so
that.
It was like,
and then
a teal dress.
Yep, yep. And so we kind of thought, like, Merida and a couple other things. So we were in our group chat discussing, and Sheila said, what if we did Star Trek?
She was like, Merida, the color of teal, and like, but we already had a different Disney costume planned. Can I say that?
Yeah, for Dragon Con, but yeah, we're not telling you what it is, so.
Oh, whoa. Whoa! We already had another Disney one planned, so we're like, do we really want to do two Disneys for potentially wearing them both at Dragon Con and in 1 year? Like, do we really want to do that?
Yeah.
So, Sheila suggested, what about Star Trek? It's like the Star Trek science color. And I was like, bing, bang, boom, TNG. So we decided to do TNG. And I decided to do, I went back and forth. I was like, it really could go either way. I could do Dr. Crusher or I could do Deanna Troi. Mm-hmm. And it kind of came down to Deanna Troi because she doesn't wear a traditional Starfleet uniform. She wears like an all teal dress. And this was a mostly teal dress. So, and it had a really interesting neckline. I thought it would be fun to recreate.
She has cool hair, like iconic hair.
She has a hair accessory, which, you know, Dr. Crusher just wears like a plain uniform. So I thought it might be more recognizable with the mashup. So that's what we decided to do. For mine, I made a few modifications. I did change a neckline. The dress that she has, probably her most iconic look, has an asymmetrical neckline, so it slopes down more on one side. And so I cut it down and re-hemmed it, which was an adventure. I made it a little too low. So I did have to tape it onto myself so that, you know, nothing would pop out, but that worked quite well. We didn't have any.
No nip slips.
And I also, it was very, very long. And I wanted it to be a little long in the back cause that's, you know, like a Regent. So not really a train, maybe a small train, but just longer in the back.
Right.
But like it couldn't stay that long in the front because I would be constantly tripping over it. So I hemmed it about 6 inches in the front, which I had my partner help me with that. And we had an incident with the tacking tape. So I hemmed it in the top, but I left it long in the back. I was originally going to hem it all the way around, but I wanted to leave it long in the back. Because I'm lazy and that's less that I had to do.
Fair.
And B, because I thought it looked cool.
Right.
So it was a win-win. I made like 4 headpieces. One was just ribbon that I used heat and bond to put velvet ribbon over satin ribbon because I had seen some Bridgerton headpieces looking like that. And the other one, the one I ended up wearing, was a satin ribbon that I put blue gems on. That was the one that I thought was most like her headband that she wears with that dress. It's like a beaded, like diamonds on there, mm-hmm. diamond shape, in blue on a teal headband. So I thought that fit the Regency and looked like the most like her. And I thought it looked the nicest with the wig that Paige let me borrow. I took an existing comm badge, like brooch that I had, and I just hand stuck on.
You bedazzled it.
Bedazzled, yeah. I just hand stuck on rhinestones.
Yep.
I used those little like
Poke and stick. Like you poked them and then you stuck them on there.
No, it's like a diamond painting thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like you stick it in the sticky.
Yeah.
And then you stick the gem.
Yeah.
I did that originally for all of them, but it didn't fit very well. So I needed different sizes of gems. So then I bought some, nail gems, which were already, they were pretty sticky for my convenience. So some of them are like glued on. Some of them are stuck on with like whatever
adhesive
sticky,
backing.
But I was a little bit worried about them. I put some extra ones of those in my bag, like to take with me to the con, because I didn't know how sticky, like how well they would stay stuck on, but I don't think I lost any. It didn't look like I did. So, and then just pin that to my dress. And then the dress, when it came, again, it was a very cheap dress. It had large plastic buttons to button up the back. And I was like, that's not very Regency. They wouldn't have had plastic. So I sliced all those off. And then I kept them because I am a hoarder, right, as most cosplayers are. And then I put on, I bought gold floral buttons to look more period, to put back there. I'm not sure you could even see them with my hair, because it was just the top part.
I saw it while we were messing with your dress, right, but I didn't.
Well, I wasn't sure, and I still don't know how I'll wear it for when we wear them for Dragon Con. We are planning on wearing them to Dragon Con. I wasn't sure how I was going to wear the wig, how I was going to style it, if I was going to do down more like Troy, or if I was going to do up more like Regency. I kind of went for a pinned back and down. So, but it was very, the buttons were pretty affordable. I think they were like $3 for 5 or 6 buttons, which is all I needed. And, you know, I do hate sewing, but I can. Sewing on a button is pretty mild sewing. I don't mind sewing on buttons. So, just chopped them off. There's just, unfortunately, no way to heat and bond on a button. I if there was a way, I would have found it by now. You just can't. You got to sew them on.
So. I thought your tray looked awesome.
I really was happy with the way.
I was really impressed with it.
There was a time when I was working on it about 3 or 4 days before the con.
You at the 60%? Jillian called the 60%.
That was good. I thought it was good that she acknowledged it because we've talked about it before. And I didn't realize it was such a universal thing, I guess.
Yeah, Jalea at her panel set was talking about, like, the 60%, like, ick or yuck or whatever. I don't know. There was a word she used there where you're, like, 60% done and you're like, this is terrible. Like, and it happens with most cosplays. Mm-hmm. And I would say, there's at least some point.
And we've talked about that on the podcast before about how, like, most of my costumes, I'll be really, really excited when I get the stuff. And I'll be like, this is going to look great. And then part of the way through it, I'm like, I'm going to put all of this in the garbage can. There's nothing. There's no hope. Right. And then when it's done, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I almost threw this away.
I did it.
And I was kind of like that with this because, again, dress was $9. So it was very, very cheap satin. It was very difficult to work with.
Yeah.
And I thought it was just going to run and pull and look terrible when I was done. I thought I cut way too deep and there was just no way to hide my nipple. I thought...
Luckily, like I said, for you, I brought pasties just in case you needed
them. Well, that would not have worked. I don't want a pasty showing either. I don't know that a visible pasty is that much better than a visible nip, to
fair,
be honest.
Fair.
And, like I said, we had an incident with the tacking tape where my partner was like, this is how much I think 6 inches is. And it turns out it's not accurate. So...
Right.
I had to, like, take off.
Typical man.
Well, I wasn't going to say that, but I did think it. I also thought I was using tacking tape, and I was using, like, permanent tape. Because I bought, like, 4 or 5 new kinds of heat and bond. So I've got all kinds of new stuff that's going to come into my world, hopefully. I mean...
She's going to be heat and bonding everything.
Well, I think I'm going to have to do some sewing for... Unfortunately, I think I'm going to have to do a decent amount of sewing for our one of our upcoming costumes.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll see. Maybe I can heat and bond together an entire outfit. You never know.
Maybe.
The only change I think I'm going to make, like, there's some minor changes I'll probably make. Before Dragon Con, I did wear white evening gloves just because that's what the internet said Regency they would have worn in the evening. Always white gloves. I will probably try to get teal gloves instead of going more Regency to go more Troy.
Yep.
I get some teal evening gloves. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty happy with it overall.
Absolutely, yeah. I thought it looked awesome, so.
I was happy with it.
So, for mine, I am not as familiar with Star Trek or TNG as they are.
As they are?
As some might be.
What? Oh, you meant me and Sheila.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you meant like as they like as it is or like I'm, like, I thought you were referring to Star Trek and TNG
as Jesse and Sheila are.
I'm picking up what you're saying.
But I've seen enough, and I was trying to think. We already knew what our friend Sheila was going to do. She was Wesley, Will Wheaton's character. So Jesse was going to be in the teal. And I was trying to find a different character, you know, a different department. What do they call them?
Division? I honestly don't know.
Like, you know, a different color of Star Trek uniform to wear, to base my costume on. And so I decided I wanted to do because it was a mashup, I wanted to try to be as specific as I could with my character to try to make it more readable. Mm-hmm. So I went with Data. It's one Jesse's done before. It's a character I'm really familiar with. He's a well-known character, and so I was like, okay, like, cool, going for that. So if you know me, you know that I love Regency, and I've wanted to do a Bridgerton. I'm gonna do more. But I'm always down for a Regency. So I have a lot of Regency patterns. I have 4, I think, to choose from. And so I went into my patterns, picked out what pattern I was going to do, conferred with Jesse, was really happy with the pattern I picked out. It was just a long sleeve Regency style gown, which I did in the mustard yellow and then, or gold or whatever they call it. And then like a black overcoat with a really cool, like high structured collar, which really like that as well. Really like the pattern. I used just a black, none of my fabrics, nothing special. I did a black lace on the overlay of the coat. It did have a belt, which I am going to redo for Dragon Con. I don't know exactly how, but I was not very happy with the belt. It wasn't very structured, and it fastened, the pattern called for it to fasten in the front. Did not like that, so.
I was surprised when you said that it fastened in the front, that you didn't just change it.
Yeah, I am going to do some thinking on that part of it.
I didn't realize when I was like, can you not just fasten it in the back? I didn't realize it was attached.
Yes.
To the coat.
Yeah, the belt was attached to the coat. So I'm going to figure out what to do there, but that is one thing I'm going to change. My wonderful, wonderful husband 3D printed me a comm badge, which I painted and then attached to a pin. I wore it. I knew I was going to catch flack for this, but I wore it on the belt just to cover the closure because I was so unhappy with how that looked the night before we left for the con. It was a bit of a con crunch for me. We just got back from, both Jesse and I both just got back from Disney, and I was just not prepared. So I was con crunching a little bit and was trying to hide my belt that I didn't like. So I put my comm badge there. I didn't hate it there.
It wasn't in any way that it looked bad there. Just like your husband and I, both as diehard TNG yes. fans, were like, that's not wearing us.
And I had already talked to Jesse about it when I decided, like, I think I'm going to try to put that there. I said, hey, how much trouble am I going to be in? Yeah. How crabby is this going to make you if I put that there? And she was like, I get it. You're doing a design choice, not like a logical choice. Like, I get that. I think you're fine.
My mom asked about it and like how it was coming along. And I was like, well, I don't know. I was like, I don't think, like, I wouldn't put it there. But also it's easy for me to say that when I didn't need to, like, come up. Like, there's definitely things that I know it's been like the reverse situation where you're like, well, I don't know. I probably wouldn't have put that there. I probably wouldn't have done that way. But like, it was just like, I had no other choice at that time. Or like, that's the choice that made me feel better about it.
I'm hoping when I revamp the belt, that won't be an issue. But after Jesse said, like, hey, if that's where you need to put it there. Right. I think it's fine. My husband saw it and was like, huh, that's what, it's your comm badge is on your belt. That's weird. And he was very judgy about it, which I knew he was going to be.
I knew he was going to be.
So anyway, hopefully that is a situation that will be remedied for Dragon Con. I'm also going, my dress was too big. It's something I do, because I would much rather take a garment
in. And when it's like, again, when it's a pattern like that, a lot of times there'll be kind of like a gap in the measurements.
Yeah.
Or like maybe the, we've talked about this before, but maybe the top fits your measurements, but the bottom's going to be too big. Yeah. Or maybe the bottom, you know, you've got to kind of make it too big somewhere.
Yeah, my dress was too big on me, so I will be taking that in. I always make things bigger. It is way easier to take things in than to let seams out. I did put pockets in this dress, which is, if you know, it's something I do. If I can hide them well enough, which this coat, the coat covered my pockets, something I do.
I just don't think I'm responsible enough to have pockets at a con. Well, here's what I mean. Like, I will shove so much shit in there that it will weigh down the pocket. Like, there's more stuff that I want to take in to a con usually than will fit in a pocket. Like, if I want to take an external battery, it's going to weigh down a pocket.
I put my phone pair down. Pocket.
I know, but, like, if, like, a lot of things I wear, it'll be, like, lopsided. Yeah. Like, so...
Yeah, you have to be careful of that, for sure.
And, like, a lot of times, I like to make, like, try to make, like, a themed bag. And then it's an extra accessory. Yeah. So...
Jesse likes a themed bag. I like a pocket.
Yeah. Like, neither way is wrong or right. It's just...
Personal preference.
And how am I going to buy everything in the vendor hall if I don't have a bag to shove it in?
That's fair.
Riddle me this.
So, put pockets in. I have a pocket pattern that I made a long time ago, and I use it for everything. Thanks, Mom.
A pattern?
Yeah, like it's just, well, it's just like the shape I like and the size I like it to be. It's just a cutout that I made, like a little piece of paper.
Okay. I just never heard of a pocket pattern.
So, anyway, was happy with all of that. Another thing that I did was, I made pips for my collar, which was something it was the very last thing I did. I was really struggling with how I wanted to do that. I couldn't find to buy like beads or anything and was kind of struggling.
They're surprisingly hard to find. I used to have a set of magnet ones, but I think they're gone.
Yeah. So my husband, I asked him for ideas and he asked me if I could embroider it on there. But in all honesty, I tried not to make any piece super Star Trek themed in case I wanted to rewear it later.
And
separately,
to embroider a perfect circle is very hard.
Separately, like, and that's that. I also said I don't know if I can.
It's hard for like someone who does embroidery.
Right. To I was like, I don't know that I can do that. So I ended up taking two like solid small buttons, painting them gold. I had a I want to say rivet, but that's not the right word.
The open one.
Yeah. So it was a like a. Like a, what you lace up
like
a corset.
A grommet?
Yeah.
Was it metal?
Thank you. It was a grommet, but I didn't want to punch a hole in the fabric. So I just put it on top of the fabric and I sewed gold metallic stuff over it.
That's why it
to attach
lace.
It. Yes.
I didn't realize it was metal. I thought it was like a little piece of lace, like a circle from a piece of lace that you had cut.
It was a metal grommet.
Okay.
With, like gold metallic,
That tracks. I was like, girl, that was not metal.
I promise
like,
that is.
It looked like.
I thought it was lace. Yeah. I thought that would be a way to take them off if I don't want them on there forever.
Oh,
so,
yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That was a good idea.
Yeah.
I thought it was,
So I was really happy with how that turned out.
I knew the solid ones were buttons that you painted. You told me that, but I didn't. I just thought grommet, and then I saw, I was like, well, that's not a grommet, but it was. It was a hidden grommet. Secret grommet.
So I will say, I had practiced my makeup before. So the night before the night before I left to head to Jesse's to head to Texas, I was like, oh shit, I better style a wig. Jesse and I both searched for a wig for me to use all over and just could not find anything. I knew I wanted an updo. I wanted something simple, but like kind of, I wanted dark, you know, like just could not find anything that looked right. But I do have my Rococo wig and I told Jesse, I said, I'm going to restyle these bangs, to make it more center part and, you know, less flow backy. And I'm going to push down, mine's hollow up in the top, like where it's really tall and poofy. So I just pushed it down where it touched my head and called it a day. I didn't love it. It wasn't my favorite, but it worked. It served its purpose.
Yeah. If you could have gotten a little less poofy.
Yeah. I got a big head. It worked. But my makeup, I had practiced pretty early on. I knew I had makeup laying around. I just wanted to play with it. Worked at home, was happy with it at home. And then, of course, the morning of the con was really fighting with it. I felt like my skin was really dry, and I just wasn't happy with the application.
Well, and you're, like, under more stress because you're trying to get ready to get to the con. You don't have as much time to, like, take your time.
Yep.
You're in a different environment. Honestly, even something I thought about, like, tap water could be significantly different. Like, there could be something, like, maybe there's, like, there would be a different mineral makeup and a different level of, like, chlorine and stuff. So maybe it's something like that. You never know what might. Was that the same makeup you used for iZombie?
Yes.
Okay. Did you have trouble with it, iZombie?
No.
I don't feel like
you
did.
Not at all.
Yeah. So, again, you just never know.
Yeah.
It could just be, like, the makeup had gotten too old.
Yep.
Or it dry, it like from being wet so recently.
Right.
Like it's hard telling.
Yeah. So I wasn't very happy with that. And complete honesty and like transparency, I didn't feel pretty. Data's very pale. There's no like definition anywhere. Like no like eye makeup. No.
He doesn't have lip makeup.
Like no lipstick or lip color. I did not feel pretty at all. And that's a bummer when you're in cosplay.
Yeah, which I will say.
Like unless you're doing a funny one and you like
or
are like
something like when I was Susie, I wouldn't say I felt pretty, like as Susie, but like I felt confident. Like I felt like you know like I was like well. Here I like,
and it probably had
like
to do
appeal to my other part of my personality, where that's like old country dad. Like
it also,
well,
it
I
also
got my plunger, and my keys. I reckon I'm here to do some maintenance work.
It also probably was paired with the fact that my costume didn't fit super well,
right?
And I wasn't happy with the belt. Like I think
and like I said, like I knew that's what it was because I told you your makeup looked absolutely perfect. You like you were like you got like. 1/18th of an inch from my face, and you're like, look how patchy it is. And yes, when you were that close to my face, I could see what you were talking about. But from a normal distance that any two people would be, it just looked like white makeup.
Right.
Like, you know, it looked like it was supposed to.
Yeah.
And I think if you ever, I know you said you don't know that you'll do data again.
Yeah.
But like when I did data, I didn't want to have white mouth.
Right.
So I did like a goldish lip, and I did some
and that
gold
might have
highlight
helped a little bit
to give some more definition, like you said. So it wasn't like a stark white.
Yeah.
So it gave me some more definition there.
Yeah.
So I think there are ways, especially with it being a mashup. My data was also a mashup that you could. Revamp it.
So that being said, we're going to rewear this group to Dragon Con. We're both going to make some changes.
Yeah.
I'm going to maybe add a little bit more frill to my underdress, fix the belt, but I'm probably not going to do data. I have not decided if I'm going to do a specific engineer, or if I'm just going to be random.
Just a gold shirt.
So that will be determined. But overall, it's always fun to do a group cosplay with Sheila. And we were using this as a trial run.
Yeah. Like again, I told Paige that I was like, that's why we did this for anytime we're going to do a group cosplay like that. You know, we want to look good as a group. We want to be happy and confident with it overall. And that's why it's nice to have a trial run of it. Like, we didn't used to do things like that, but it forces you to see gaps in your costume before you, like, you know, like that you wouldn't find just wearing it, even if you wore it at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like even if you did practice it at home, it kind of forces you. And like again, we always say on the podcast, like, practice your makeup, practice it. And like, we don't always, we always don't, or we don't always as much as we should.
Right.
We don't always wear, again, my Susie shoes that I wore just the last con we went to before this one, terrible, painful, did not wear them enough.
Right.
Like did like just straight up screwed up. Mm-hmm. So like this kind of forces us
yeah.
to take our own advice.
Right.
To try things out in a con setting to see what works, to see what doesn't, to see what photographs well, to see what doesn't, like in a con situation. Yep. Yeah.
We also ended up changing later in the day on Saturday and put on old cosplays just because, you know.
Old cosplays.
Jessie put on her rose quartz, which is always a fan favorite. Yeah. She constantly has stopped in rose quartz.
Yeah, she's so fun to wear, and she's surprisingly comfortable. The only thing that's a little bit uncomfortable, but well, first of all, I can wear Birkenstocks, and that's the most comfortable. So it's very comfortable, and this is my first time really since I've revamped it. Like, I wore it to the tiny little local con I went to, but since I remade the top, this is the first time I've worn it like for more than an hour. She's still my all-time, like, and the sword is just like the thing that I'm still the most proud of, probably.
Yeah,
that I've made. It, like, that is my favorite thing when someone, like, if you want to endear yourself to me, win your way into my heart, stop me at a convention and ask me how I made my sword or ask me what it's made of. That is my favorite
thing. She'd love to tell
you. I would love to tell you all about this sword.
I rewore Arwen. I did not do anything to her.
She didn't need anything.
Here's one thing I did do differently. This is a stupid small thing, but I was much happier with how it looked. Something about the way it looked at Dragon Con threw me off, and I never could figure out what it was. There was just something bothered me. Not the dress, just me in general. And it was that I tried to wear part of my hair in front of my shoulders and part of it behind so you could see my elf ears, but you never could see them anyway.
No,
and in her scene with that dress, she's got all of her hair back behind so you can see the, like, the scoop neck of the dress, and I wore my hair back behind me this time. Loved it so much more. Like, I was like, that's such a stupid thing, but it made me so much happier.
I didn't remember it, but, like, again, it's one of those things that, like, I would say most people have those little, like, weird things. Like, you didn't notice the different roses on my rose quartz, but I was like, I'm so much happier with
exactly.
Little changes like that can make,
like I said, I brushed my wig out and tried to make it more, like, naturally, like, wavy, and I wore it behind me. Like, no effort at all.
Yeah. I noticed no difference in the wig. I didn't notice you weren't wearing your ears.
Yeah.
No difference.
Right.
But it doesn't, you know, like I said, it's all about what, like, again, it was the same thing with your insignia on your belt of your data. Like, again, it's easy for me to say, well, for me, I wouldn't want it. But again, it's about what makes you feel confident, what makes you feel happiest, and what you think looks best.
Right.
And you want to wear out. Like, it's not about, because, you know, and that's why I told you, I was like, I don't think anyone's going to come up and be like, well, actually.
So anyway, changed cosplays, had a lot of fun, went back to the con. And then
that's a pretty comfortable one to wear too, isn't it, Arwen?
Oh yeah, she's super comfortable. Spoiler, I didn't wear a bra this time, which was, I used boob tape. I need more boob tape. I'm out of boob tape now. I need to learn to tape
a whole roll?
Between Midge and this.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because I wore it for Midge. Yeah.
I think when you're bustier as we are, there's only so much that you can do with boob
tape.
There's
only so much.
Well, I mean, you know, gravity is a thing.
Right.
Like, you can't hold up a... My mom always talks about there's some supposed boob tape that she saw on TV or something that can hold up a bowling ball.
I've heard of this.
And she...
I've heard her talk of this.
Yes. She keeps saying, you need to get that. And I'm like, well, you need to tell me what it is.
Order it for us and we'll try it for you.
And also, is it even real?
Right.
Or did you dream this?
I need to get better at taping boobs. I know that they're there for a while. I would see TikToks a lot of, like, them giving, like, if this is how big I am, like, here's how I tape for different things. And I know there's, like, diagrams and stuff too. But I need to get better at it.
I will say again,
it worked really well for the neckline, and that dress isn't tight up top, so you couldn't really tell.
No, that's what I was gonna say. That's another thing that, like,
but I would have felt very weird completely braless with that.
I completely forgot that again, it didn't look any different to me. It wasn't like, I was like, oh, your boobs look weird, or I completely forgot you were wearing the boob tape instead of a bra until we got back to the hotel room and you, like, whipped it off, and I was like, oh damn. Forgot, like, and you're just like ripping it off. So yeah, like I said, I think, like, I'm not saying don't practice.
We had a TikTok to make. I had to hurry up and take that off.
I was not saying don't practice if you want.
Yeah.
Well, because I was like, do you even need to put, and then I was like, oh, you're not wearing, your nipples are fully, like, pasted up, and so,
You also thought I was going to put the boob tape on
I was really worried that you were going to put the boob tape directly on your nipple. Well, we had just watched that 40-year-old virgin where he's getting, like, his nipple waxed, so I was just
Kelly Clarkson!
I was very concerned.
You thought I was going to do a Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah, but like I said, I'm not saying don't, like, ultimately it's about what makes you, again, I know there's tiny little things that you've been like, it doesn't matter, and but it just makes me feel
better.
Like
I said, it was just one of those slight changes that I made without any effort that I was like, that's exactly what it needed. Like, that's why I was kind of thrown off by it at Dragon Con. Like, okay, now I'm a lot happier with this cosplay. Because I think I told you, or I think I talked about it in our Dragon Con episode, that I didn't love that wig. Like, my Arwen.
That's what you did.
My Arwen wig. And I couldn't figure out why.
Right.
Turns out that's what it was.
Yeah. So, like I said, it's not something that I noticed. Like, to me, it looked exactly the same as when you wore it to Dragon Con.
Right.
But, again, like, you know, the same thing with my, like, smoke flowers.
Right, exactly.
On the thing. Like,
so, then today, Sunday, the last day of the con, we had to get on, we knew we were going to get on the road, so we did just go back and do a little bit of shopping. Mm-hmm. I did not cosplay, because so Jesse brought a couple different backups. I brought, Eddie from Stranger Things, which I have worn to Halloween and also to EvilCon, because Jesse got a Chrissy from Stranger Things.
I just got it because it was cheap and it would fit me.
I mean, I like
Stranger Things.
Yeah.
It
was just a backup that we were going to...
It's a very cute costume.
Yep. And I was going to throw it in there, but I decided since she wasn't going to wear that one today that I
Well, the main reasons that I decided not to wear it...
Birkenstocks.
The number one reason was that I need arch support. I just do. Like, I'm getting old, and I need to wear arch. So I was like, I really want to wear my Birkenstocks if I can. And again, I knew we were only going to be at the con, like, maybe a couple hours max. So I was like, do I really want to bother? And then I didn't realize... when we talked about bringing them, that they were both there.
Yeah, so there was a lot.
15 million, like, we saw probably 3-4 Eddies.
So many Hellfire
and
t-shirts.
Probably, and then plus another 20 Hellfire Club t-shirts, and then probably 10 Chrissies.
Yeah.
It's not like I care. Like, if I was really, really excited about that costume and I put a lot of work into it.
Right.
And then I would wear it even if everybody else there was dressed like it. But I put zero work into it. I ordered it, tried it on. I was like, yep, it fits.
Yep.
And picked out a green scrunchie from my scrunchie collection to put the wig up. So, like, and Bart was going to borrow a wig from you. So, I didn't have very much. I had no time invested in it, really. No work invested in it.
Well,
no money.
And
so, like,
especially
again,
days we're traveling home, we want to be comfortable or something we can easily change out of in a parking garage or
in
the car.
And that is comfortable, but, like, I just ended up wearing my, like, you just wore normie clothes.
Normie clothes.
I wore just, like, a Ren Faire, like, a peasant dress.
Yep. So, that was Dallas Fan Expo. Yeah. Any roundup thoughts? Any closing arguments?
Oh, well, I just want to say that the truth is out there.
All right.
And... I will find it.
Aliens are among us.
Aliens are among us, and they're hiding secrets in their little graves and stuff.
Yeah, one of them is. One of them is infiltrating our.
I've got. Lives. I know. I'm up to their game, and
I think it's really rude they didn't beam us home.
Yeah, that the aliens didn't beam us home. It's probably because I know all their secrets.
Yeah. So. We had a really good time at Fan Expo Dallas. We are so thankful for our Texas friends and all of the con once again for inviting us and giving us press passes. Mm-hmm. We hope that you enjoyed listening to this episode and hearing. Yeah. Hopefully, if Fan Expo Dallas is one that you have considered going to, this was helpful in some way.
Yeah. Lots of big, big name celebrities, I will say.
Yeah.
And for a... con of it's like I mean probably the biggest of any con
was,
we've been to, so
a lot of good names, so
and like some for everybody. It was a more like
well-rounded
lots and lots
con,
of celebrities
con.
Still gaming,
yep, a lot like, of extra like
good
activities
variety
to do.
Of gaming,
yeah.
And good vendor. Like I said, overall, a nice, well-rounded con, which is what we like to see.
Yep. That's what we like to see. Yeah. If you would like to follow along with us on social media, we are on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay and Cocktails Pod. We're also over on TikTok at Cosplay and Cocktails. You can just follow along. You can interact with us there. We're a lot of fun, guys. Or if you would like to send us feedback, send us, you know, there's a big list of things you can send us. And Jesse's going to tell you what and where.
Okay. Well, first, actually, I thought of another comment I want to make, and that's that I got to high five Bucky. Bucky came up and solicited a high five
on our way home.
Yep. Yeah. So, Bucky, the, beaver, not Bucky Barnes. Aww. Paige would have straight up murdered me just like I would be deceased right now. Anyway, I was pretty excited about high-fiving Bucky, and then we took a selfie with him, and it's real cute.
Facts.
If you want to check out our website, you can find all... Maybe this is your first episode. If you liked it, check out our website.
It's welcome.
Welcome. Bienvenidos. Willkommen. I don't know any other languages for welcome. So, if you liked it, go to our website. You can find all our other episodes sorted by category. So you can, if you really want to listen to other cons we've been to, what we thought of them, things we liked and didn't like, you can check those out. If you want to hear interviews with some way more talented than us way more talented than us cosplayers. Nobody's more talented podcasters than us. We're the best. 100% professional at all times.
Always.
You can also find all the episodes by season. So a lot of good if you like to organize things. If you like a very specific order to listen, you don't like chronological order, you can check those out there. You can also contact us from the website, and you can leave a review, and you can find all the different podcast players that we're on. So if there's one that you prefer and you can't find us, you can find a link to it on the website. The URL for the website is www.podpage.com/cosplaypod. If you would rather email us directly, then you can send us weird fish pics, interesting plants and mushrooms. I got a lot of mushroom related things at this con. Mushrooms are big now.
Popular.
Mushrooms are hot. This season's hot take from Jesse.
Mushrooms
are fashionable. We should do like a every year a hot or not in con and cosplay.
There you go.
This year, mushrooms are hot. And what is not hot right now? What is not hot is having someone make your costume and then lying and say you made it.
Yeah.
That's perpetually not hot.
Never a good look.
Just don't lie.
Don't be a liar.
Like, buy your costume. By all means, I bought my Chrissy costume. Don't lie. Not going to tell people I made it.
Nope.
Because they're going to know. Because there's going to be 18 other people wearing the exact same costume.
Anyway.
You can send us that. Cocktail recipes, mocktail recipes, episode ideas, people you want us to interview, top five geek down ideas, questions for I Want to Ask You a Question. What do you want to know that your other... con goers, your other listeners think answers to I'm going to ask you a question. As a reminder, this episode's question was, what's a, you know, a cosplay that you haven't seen at all or haven't seen very much that you would like to see again, that you get excited to see again, or that maybe you'd want to do so that you make someone else's day, an obscure costume.
Ooh, can I give a second answer?
Yes.
Oodalali.
Oh,
freaking
by
love
Oodalali, Oodalali, she means the Disney Robin Hood cartoon.
Yes.
With the fox and the bear man.
Correct.
Is the girl one a fox too?
Yes.
Or is she like a cat?
Yeah, she's
or something?
Like a fox. I love an Oodalali cosplay. What I have seen.
You keep calling it Oodalali.
What I have seen is like Robin Hood when he is like dressed up like a bird.
Yeah,
the archery
that
contest.
That is the one we see the most.
Yeah, that is the most.
I think because that's really the only one you can do without going full furry.
Right, but, oh, I love it. Yeah, he's got, like, a hood over most of his face and
like
just, like,
a bird
beak
mask,
sticking
like
out.
A long bird mask, yeah.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah, I think, like I said, probably because that's about the only one you can do without going full-blown furry.
Love it. Keep it up.
So, yeah.
I'm going to find a way to mash it up one day so that we can do...
You're going
to
be furry.
No, it's going to be a mashup. I'll figure it out.
You're
I'll get
gonna...
back to you on it.
listen, Brandon already said that if I do happy, I'm going to be in furry territory. I don't need to be even further in furry country.
You can continue with your listing now.
Well, no, I can't because you're throwing me off my groove.
I'm sorry.
You can send things that you think would be cool. Cool costume mashups, cosplay mashups. We're always looking for a good mashup.
Yeah.
Send us an idea you think would be cool for us to do. What do you think would be fun for us to do? Should I cosplay a Santa Claus?
Yes, the answer is yes.
Might happen, just because I think it'd be funny to do that.
Yeah. Where can they send that stuff to?
Our email is cosplayandcocktailspod@gmail.com.
That's gmail.com.
Wow. Shoo-bee-doo. Yep. You can expect
here we are.
The finest.
Well, Jesse, what do you reckon?
I reckon it's time we best be scootin'.
Okay, bye.
Bye.